What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Big shout out to all of our listeners and folks that came through yesterday, Mike. We had a great time at Hooters up there, Mall, Georgia.
Yeah, it was funny. I was talking to one of my buddies today at the gym, and he goes, man, that sounded like it was popping. I said, yeah, we had a crowd, man. We always do up there. Always have great audience. And it's funny because we have, like, listeners busting other listeners' chops, whether they're an Alabama fan or a Carolina Panther fan. But a lot of conversation, obviously, about the Falcons yesterday. And, you know, we tried to give you the sights and sounds of what we saw. And a lot of folks around the country now and national media reacting to what Michael Penix had to say about expectations.
Well, I'm glad he's setting them. We have been in the dark, so to say, for a while now. And Mike and I have said this. Look, I want confident players. I want players with swag. I want players who are not afraid to put it out there. And sometimes guys are afraid because they're afraid to fail. Mike, failure is a part of sports. Like, I want you to say, man, if we do what we need to do, this offense is going to be unstoppable. Great. Because nobody's been willing to go out on a limb and say that, even though the pieces have been here. And even Kirk Cousins, who came in, Mike, it was coach speak.
Right.
It wasn't, I'm grabbing myself and telling you guys, we got a really good team, and here we come. And that's kind of what I got from Penix's comments. I have no issues with it. And some people are saying, well, they hadn't won anything. But this is how you start to win things. You have to have the confidence to put it out there. So I'm hoping, man, that whatever he said yesterday comes to fruition as far as the offense and the weapons. And we talked a lot about Pitts yesterday. And that's getting national news as well.
Right. And look, we were talking about this, Damian, our producer, Day-Day. We were talking earlier. I said, you know, he brought up a great point. He's 25. You know, he had to sit out a couple of years. He had injuries in college. You know that. But he is a lot further down the road as far as maturity and as far as, you know, presence, you know, call it gravitas, than some other guys, you know, maybe come up sort of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed looking at their rookie season, or in this case, you know, his second, you know, full year. But he's a guy that I think it's a quiet confidence, but there is a confidence, and you see it, and you feel it when you talk to him.
Today and off day, guys. We are back up there on Tuesday, another open practice, then Thursday. And we'll be back at Hooters as well. So if you didn't get a chance to come by and hang out with us at Hooters Mall of Georgia, we're going to be back up there Tuesday, Thursday of next week. Meanwhile, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that went down yesterday and more importantly, kind of stuff that was said. We're also going to let you hear Drake London. The midday guys, or should I say the morning shift, got him and talked to Drake. And Brian McFadden is on the way here in about 10 minutes to talk all things NFL. Camps are underway. Mike, Raheem Morse, we both agree he's got to get better, right? So he was asked on the midday show yesterday, and Big O, let's hear Raheem talk about what he did this offseason to get better, because this is an area, like, you can tell us about the players, the draft, the free agent stuff, but what about that self-scouting, Mike, that reevaluation right. of, hey, how do I get better for my team?
You always start with self-evaluation. You always start with, you know, looking at some other people, what they did really well, go steal some really good ideas. There's a lot of really great coaches in this league. There's a lot of great players in this league. And you can go study just about anything you want. You know, obviously, there's always great room for self-improvement. You know, whatever you do for your health, for your body, for your mind, for your mental state, for all the things that's really important to what we do as an athlete, what we do as coaches, and what we do as an organization, I think is some of the most important things you do. I happen to have some of the great leadership that I have. When you're talking about Arthur Blank, being a lean on his experience, being a lean on Terry's experience, Ryan Pace, Kyle Smith, all of those guys' experiences you can lean on, different things, different aspects of life, different walks and ways to do about your business. I just think always things that you can really help and be helpful for, and you take your time as you go through the offseason, you just go through those things, and you go through that checklist every year to make sure you can come back a better version of yourself.
You know, we've talked about, you know, the old line, and you said it just now, self-scouting. Mike, one of Mike Smith's go-to. Every coach you've had has got, like, their lexicon and their buzzwords. But, yeah, you know, looking at what you do and how can you be better at it. And we do it in our jobs. I think most people who try to be good at their jobs kind of say, hey, let's not get fat cat syndrome and try to see what we can do. But I think, yeah, clock management. I mean, Dan Quinn was like the worst challenge guy on the planet. Remember the red flag? It was like a nightmare. So there's a lot of – and Dan was no whiz with clock management his first go-around either.
It's true.
Had to have a guy to help him with it. So, and maybe all coaches do, but some have mastered it. I think you look at guys like Mike Vrabel, you know, and you see guys who get it, know every aspect of what they're doing, and have it locked down. I think Rock could be better at it.
I do too. And I think he knows that as well. Look, he is a great motivator. I think he's a great connector with players. But, again, there is a technical side of this job, and it's fine. Everybody doesn't have to be brilliant at every aspect of everything. So I'm with you. He can improve, but hopefully he gets help from his coaching staff. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We were talking about Penix and some of the comments he said yesterday. This was one that people were talking about when he talked about the offense, potentially having the best offense in the league. I don't disagree with him. If this thing clicks the way it can, and it performs, Mike, and it executes the way that it can, and we're scoring points, I don't disagree with him. But I think people have seen this offense kind of just flop around the last few years, especially under Mariota and Desmond Ridder, regardless of who was here. And Drake was here, and some of these guys were here, and they go, well, some of these guys were there, and it really hasn't looked better. Penix is coming in, and I've been saying it, guys. I mean, you're going to love seeing him spin this ball and throw it around the field as he's capable of. Here's Penix talking about this offense.
The potential, we should be the best in the league. You know, with the guys we got around us, you know, we got a great offensive line as well. You know, those guys work extremely hard in the trenches, you know, with Coach Leffert out there leading those guys, doing a great job with those guys. You know, we should be unstoppable. So that's our goal. We want to be number one in all the categories on the offensive side of the ball. So.
Too much?
You know what? First off, you know, he's in a weird spot because you still have Kirk Cousins there. But he's kind of establishing the rapport and the relationship. These are my guys. I believe in these guys. I believe in this skill positions group. I believe in this offensive line. So it's smart. You know what I mean? Whether it's calculated or it comes from the heart, either way, I like what I'm hearing and establishing that connection. And you said it. He only had three games, but you know, I know these stats get off in the weeds, but air yards, he's averaging better than anybody. Now, again, small sample size, but he's averaging 10 yards a toss.
That's good.
That's the downfield thing you were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Follow Mike, by the way. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. B-Max on the way. CBS NFL analyst says we'll go around the different camps. Aaron Rodgers' first snap yesterday. Interception. And everybody lost their mind. He acknowledged it after practice, saying, well, I'm glad we got that over with, but there are lots of things going on, including updates on these holdouts and contract situations, all that on the way with BMAC. Meanwhile, Mike, Caleb McGarry, how would you describe Caleb McGarry? Because he spoke to the media yesterday. We didn't specifically speak to him,
right?
But he addressed like the group, and I just felt like sometimes, and this is not a knock on Caleb, this is like the last thing he wants to do.
No, and I'll give you the history on this. And because, look, Caleb, he reminds you, remember Revenge of the Nerds? Caleb is like Ogre. Ah! You know what I mean? He is that big, you know, burly, looks like he could be an extra in Sons of Anarchy, although his hair is shorter this year. I mean, he's just a, you know, Pacific Northwest dude who wants to drink his beer and just kick somebody's butt. And I just thought that when D-Led kind of made a federal case out of him basically clipping the speaker one night at a workout in Washington, he didn't like the music, that somehow anti-hip-hop makes him some kind of a racist.
That's
or something.
Right.
And this became a story. Now, like, D-Led's entitled his opinion. We talked about it with him. But it kind of put him on his heels. And it's like, don't trust the media. They're out to get you. Look, I just did an interview the other day. You and I were talking off the air. You and I have done interviews before with Barrett Media.
Yes.
And they support us, and they have us ranked as one of the top shows in the country. And I just did an interview when I was down in Florida for our 11th anniversary together. And even on that, with a guy recording stuff, he still got things wrong. You know, so I understand where players are kind of hesitant. And I just think Caleb felt like, you know, I'm only here as a rookie, and already I got this. There's a guy that covers the team. He's got it out for me. So I think that's why Caleb has kind of been like arm's distance at best. So he does his job.
C-A-T spelled dog. Ogre.
By the way, I met Ogre in Hermosa Beach one year. Great guy out in L.A. But no, it's just, I think that's where some of that comes from. And I've said it before. Look, guys, if I feel that I've missed something, I'll back it up. I've always felt that he was better going forward and not backing up, but the PFF numbers bear it out. And look, the team is evaluated. They have no concerns with him as the blindside protector. They believe in McGarry, so there's no point in me complaining about it, because here we go, right? We're rolling with it.
Yeah, and again, it's not as if, because there was a question yesterday. I think our own Garrett asked the question about the rookies, and he looked at me because he said, you know, they're rookies. And he looked at Garrett, and he looked at me, and I'm laughing because – there is a sense like you want all of these guys to project how good everybody's going to be.
Right.
And Caleb was like, they're rookies. We'll see when the bullets go live. And he looked at me and I'm laughing, and right. He starts laughing because he's like, dude, it's that thing. What do you want me to say?
Yeah.
Like, you want me to tell you Jalen Walker's going to be an all-pro this year?
I mean, Caleb is not the guy that's going to say, you know, I'm really excited about the young men we brought in here. I really believe. No, that's just not his. He's not wired to bull blank. He is not going to BS. Other guys can speak in media shorthand, and that's cool. But he's just not going to give you that. And I'm fine with it. Just do your work, man.
Oh, what's up, man?
So this is a couple years ago. Steak interviewed Caleb McGarry. The interview did not go well.
What was that? What was the over-under on that interview?
It did not go well.
But it was like 35 seconds.
At one point, he asked him about Bijan Robinson, and Caleb was like, this is Bijan's rookie, and he's like, I don't want to answer that. He's like, no, how's he look out there? And Caleb turns him, he looks good in the uniform.
Yes, That's how he was.
That's what the answer is. He looks good in his uniform.
But yes. I'm telling you, that's why he does it. If you had the experience that he had his first year here, you would probably be looking a little cross-eyed at everything coming at you from the media. That's just my two cents, you know? And so that's where it's at. So blame D-Led. Not my fault, Mike.
It's not my fault. Here is Caleb McGarry speaking of what he's seen on the rookies. This is what I'm talking about. And I'm standing there, and he looks at me, and we kind of laugh. Here's him answering. So what have you seen from the rookies so far?
I mean, they're rookies, man. We'll see how things go when bullets are live.
There you go. That was it. No. Literally. And everybody's like, that's it? Nope. You got a great rookie class. You drafted these guys. That's all you're going to say. And he's literally like, what else do you want me to say?
No lie told. Right?
No lie told.
I mean, he's just being real. That's his style.
And right? By the way, this is not me. I'm not disliking him any less or more. It's just who he is. And we're only saying that to say if you expect to get that or more out of Caleb McGarry, I just don't see it happening. Mike, what we need from Caleb McGarry, and he knows this, is perform at a high level.
Right.
Block guys. Run block is great. Pass protection. Be great. And then we'll see where this thing goes. By the way, the foot that he was dealing with, he said, I'm healthy and I'm ready to go. It was one of the things that they pressed him on yesterday when I was standing there because, again, I wasn't talking to him specifically. But they did ask him about that, and he said, no, I'm ready to go. That's why he was held out of mini camp.
Right.
And OTAs.
And we were concerned just knowing that he was going to be, as you said, blindside protector for Michael Penix Jr., the franchise. So now we got to, you know, and again, if there is struggles, as we brought up, you know how it works, guys. If some big, you know, defensive end or whatever the linebacker is eating up your tackle on the blindside, then you got to help. You got to chip with a tight end. Another running back's got to stay. So that's one less weapon going down the field. That's why you really want to win these one-on-ones.
No doubt about it. Hey, more on the Falcons, guys. And again, Drake London on the way. Great interview with the morning shift. And you'll get a chance to hear from our star wide receiver. But when we come back, we got to talk to B-Mac. Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion. We'll get his thoughts on all the things we're hearing around camp. NFL camp's underway. Falcons off today. They're back at it tomorrow. And a quick reminder, if you're going tomorrow, make yourself get there a little early. Okay?
And bring some water and hydrate.
Yeah, large crowds expected. We're just telling you, it was a great crowd on the first day Thursday. But fans claim those free tickets, and there are 8 open practices that you can claim those tickets for. So this weekend is one of those, and if you're going, give yourself some time. All right, it's Dukes and Bell on a Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We were at Falcons camp yesterday. We'll be back up there on Tuesday and Thursday. I know this man's going to be up there as well. Bryant McFadden, CBS NFL analyst, joining us as he does. And B-Mac, man, good to have you on the show. I couldn't be more excited about football being back and camps underway. By the way, when are you making your way to the Falcons? Do you know when you're going to be there?
I think it's August 4th. Okay. I think it's the 4th.
All right, good deal. Because people were asking me, actually, because they heard you say it on the show, and they were like, when's he going to be up here? I said, I'm not sure what the date is. Hey, man, Mike and I started the show talking about Penix saying that they could have or potentially be the best offense in the league. He's somewhat still a rookie, right? 3 games under his belt, but he's going into his second year. Is this too much? Should he be saying this? Is that too much to put out there? He says, if everything goes right, we should be unstoppable. We played the soundbite. And some people are like, wow, this is big for Michael Penix. He's only played 3 games. What do you think?
No, I don't think that's far-fetched. I think if you're trying to be one of the best units in the National Football League, you need to be the best unit in your division, right? That's the first major step. Now, if you go back to what we saw in 2024, the best offensive skill positions and totality, entire offense, came from Tampa in terms of the consistency in which they played and just being overly productive. So that's the first hurdle for Penix and his offensive teammates. Become the most dominant unit in your division. Because if you don't do that in the division, you have no shot of stating that claim in the National Football League. And the final thing I say with him making that statement, why I don't think it's far-fetched, is because, number one, when you look at the prolific offenses in the National Football League, they do 2 things well. They throw the ball well, and they run the ball well, which will lead to what? Points. So if you look at Bijan Robinson continuing to take steps in the right direction, he should be unstoppable, not just in the running game, but also in the passing game. If Drake continues to take that step to being that bona fide wide receiver one option like he was a year ago, that helps the offense. Darnell Mooney being the ultimate number 2. And the main caveat is tight end production.
Mm-hmm.
They've been missing that.
Right.
If Kyle Pitts can live up to the billing this year, that could definitely make that statement a realistic thing in terms of what he could do. And that's why I say it's not far-fetched.
And, B, we were talking about it earlier. He was sort of pumping up his offensive line, saying we got a great offensive line. And not to cast shade, okay, well, it's not like a Russell Wilson comment where you just kind of roll your eyes. But here's a guy who's 25. He's been a leader on every team he's been on. And basically setting the tone in a subtle way, like, hey, these are my guys. I got their back. It's my team. Because he still has Kirk Cousins here. I think nothing but good things come from that kind of talk.
No, that's the maturation process with a guy like Penix, because as you guys stated early on, he's kind of a rookie, but he doesn't handle himself as a rookie. You know, when you guys hear him speak, you don't look at a guy who's trying to figure things out. You hear a guy that is very, very confident in his skill set, but he also is confident in the coaches and the personnel that's surrounding him. So in terms of talent, you know he has it, right? Now you want to see him just take command of the offense. And it sounds like he's doing that early on in the training camp period with him taking all the reps with the ones, commanding the huddle, so he can be able to orchestrate the type of drives that will get fans to stand up when they're watching them play this season.
We're talking with Brian McFadden, guys, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. While we're talking that and saying the Steelers, I know you saw what happened yesterday, right? I know you saw what happened.
Here we go.
What? I'm just saying. I mean, first play of camp and you throw a pick?
Training camp highlight you're trying to you want to reference right now. I want to hear this one.
First play of training camp. He's in the shotgun. Ready, set. Aaron Rodgers pick. First play. Come on, B.
Happens. Know that. You know that. But we live in a day and age now that everything is magnified and is talked about. You know what I mean? And I'll say this, even though that's not the first start you want, it's the first start you want for the defensive side.
Oh, okay.
See, positive. He's spinning a positive.
Okay. All right.
It's a positive. And iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
When you look at it like this, when you look at great teams, right, let's utilize the Eagles for an example from 2024. Offensively, what did the Eagles do well? They ran the ball well, right?
Right.
And because of how well they ran the football, guess who also was a dominant unit? Their defensive line. They saw each other daily, weekly, in practice. So I spin that way in a positive, and that was the first rep. You know, Aaron just got there. So, you know, he's still trying to figure things out.
Oh, yeah.
But don't worry. The same way they highlight the interceptions that he might throw, that he did throw, make sure they highlight the touchdowns as well.
Yeah, Jackson Dart did the same thing, by the way, for the Giants, Carl, please. It is a Dukes and Bell here talking about the NFL training camp.
He's not the starter.
No, it's fun, but you said, as B said, it's going to be magnified. Speaking of Steelers, former Steeler George Pickens yesterday, 2 days ago, down in Dallas, throwing shade at his former OC, Arthur Smith, asked about the offense for the Cowboys. Yeah, I'm definitely excited to run better plays, for sure. Yeah. So, is he going to mature? Is he going to flourish in Dallas, or is he going to be more of the same? Not living up to full potential.
Yo, Mike Carr, he should flourish. He should. He should live up to the billing. I'll say this now for all of us, being football fans, one thing we know for sure, Dak Prescott would be the best quarterback he's played with in his professional career. Mm-hmm. And that's no knock on the other quarterbacks, but just in terms of who Dak Prescott has become in the National Football League, for all the negative pub he receives in terms of playoff mishaps, whatever. Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback. So that should help George Pickens. Secondly, CeeDee Lamb will be the best opposite wide receiver he's ever played with as well. Mm. Right?
Opportunities.
So,
right.
No question. And you can't debate that. You can't. So no, I think George Pickens, man, he should excel in this offense, man, because if that offensive line can really do a good job in protecting the quarterback, when you got CeeDee Lamb, who's a bona fide wide receiver, one elite-like player, you can't forget about Jake Ferguson at the tight end position. Man, George Pickens should have a great year, which is great for him financially speaking, because this is a contract year for him as well.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. Let me ask you about these contract situations. And B, I know you've not necessarily maybe yourself. I'm not sure if you experienced it, but you played around guys. From just a teammate standpoint, you hear all these guys standing up for their guys. Dak talking about Micah. Joe Burrow talking about Trey Henderson. Like, hey, we just need to get this done. how difficult is it on the team? Or is it just, hey, when you're going through it and your boy's going through it, it is what it is?
It's difficult because the players that you mentioned are difference makers. It's different because now when practice is over, the microphone is in front of your face and you're answering questions about your teammate. It becomes a distraction to a degree. And the final thing you look at, too, both guys are more than deserving of being paid, especially Micah Parsons, who's younger. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, what are we doing? What are we waiting for? And this Trey Hendrickson saga, oh, my goodness. It's that right there. Okay, Micah is going to get paid. For whatever reason, Jerry loves to wait until the 25th hour. Right. To get these contracts done, maybe to steal headlines because they love headlines in Dallas. With Trey Hendrickson, I don't know when he's going to get paid unless he takes lower of his market value. Unless. Mm-hmm. So this is a situation for Cincinnati where it could really be drawn out because clearly they've predicated more money to the offensive side than the defensive side, and the defense was horrendous a year ago. Micah's going to get paid. You're not paying Micah Parsons. Jerry can say whatever you want to say about what he's done in the past with contracts. Number 11 is better than any player you've paid over the last 4 or 5 years
right.
in that organization. And you know he is a difference maker, regardless of only playing the defensive side. So Micah's going to get paid. Trey Hendrickson, to be determined with that situation.
It is our man, B-Mac, Brian McFadden, guys on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You played in the NFL for a number of years, mostly with the Steelers. Guys around the league, you know, when it comes to either free agency, there are teams that maybe they try to avoid, like the plague. Reason I bring it up, Carl and I were having some fun looking at the comments of the Browns owner, Mike Brown, talking about the Shamar Stewart contract. Another example, should be done by now, basically saying the fifth year is the holdup. If he's sitting in jail, I don't think I ought to be paying him. What do guys think when they hear stuff like that from an owner?
That's not professional. That's not professional, first and foremost. And it's disrespectful as well, also. And it's no surprise now, when you look at Cincinnati, they've been a bottom dweller mm-hmm. mostly over the last 2 decades, mostly.
Right.
Inconsistencies. And when you're at the top and you say things like this, it's a reflection of the overall concept. I always say this in terms of business, in terms of sports, whatever landscape you're a part of, good things happen to good people. When you have good people around you, you have good results. Good energy, good results. For him to sit here and say that, he could be sitting in jail. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
Like, what are we doing? There are so many things you can take from that statement in terms of it being unprofessional, you know, in terms of it being clearly unfair. You know, you could even throw – you know, just the demographic of where right. Shamar Stewart is from
right.
into that equation as well. The background, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense for you to sit here and justify why the contract hasn't been done, the language of the contract. Come on, man, that's disrespectful. And I can tell you this much, too, for the leaders on that team, right? The right. leaders on that team, the money guys on that team, they should definitely step up and speak up on behalf of their teammate. Because you don't handle people like that. You don't do people like that. Regardless if you're cutting the checks, if you don't. Treat people how you want to be treated. Regardless of what your title is. And sometimes, and you guys know this, in the world, in the adult life that we all live, sometimes people allow their egos to be able to allow their mouth to be mm-hmm. loose-lipped, to say whatever they want to say, because they have all the chips in the middle of their table. And that ain't right.
I agree, 200%. And I wish more guys would stand up. But I think it speaks to the organization, which is why right. we weren't surprised when Mike Brown's, you know, he said this, 90-year-old Mike Brown said this, and we were like, really? But it doesn't give him a pass. I agree. One last thing. You got rings. When you won those rings, did you wear them? Because Jalen Hurts is keeping the past behind him. He is not going to be wearing his ring anytime soon. He's not wearing his Super Bowl ring. He says, I moved on to the new year. Motivation, how did you look at the ring?
Yo, that's great to hear from Jalen Hurts. For me, no, I don't wear mine. The only time I wear mine now, guys, is probably around Super Bowl week. You know, when I'm at the Super Bowl site, right. you know, I'm talking. Clearly it's relevant because that's why everyone is gathered there for the Super Bowl. But when I played, I put it up. I saw it, and then I didn't look at it for, I mean, my first Super Bowl, guys, after we got our rings in the off season in 2006, I probably didn't look at it again until the 2008 season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like you see, you know you have it because it's always there. You know, one thing about when you win a championship, you will always have that. You know, when you play the game of football, you will eventually become a former player. But you're never a former champion. So I always kind of knew I had it. But then for us in Pittsburgh, it was like on the next one. Right. The first one makes you want the next one even more. It creates a newfound hunger. And I love hearing that from Jalen Hurts because, you know, he gets criticized from different angles. But one thing we don't celebrate, I think, enough with him is just how rooted and grounded he is, dialed in, and also, right, too, leadership as well.
Right.
I love that about that.
He is, by the way, because people are talking about him not carrying his team and all this BS.
And that's Cam. That's Cam speaking.
He is five seasons in. He's made a couple of Super Bowls. There are only one, two, three, four of the quarterbacks who've done it. Brady, Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson in their first five seasons, Patrick Mahomes and Kurt Warner. So he joins that crew. Dude, Jalen, since he's taken over, is 45-17 over the last four seasons. There's not an organization that wouldn't take that. Right. No, there's not one.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. When you look at Jalen Hurts, and I know it's been a very, very hot topic, you know, with some of former NFL players kind of going back and forth with Jalen Hurts about who he is and where he should be ranked in the top echelon of quarterbacks. His numbers speak for itself. And then when you say, well, he has a lot surrounding him, well, if you remove him from that same situation, what are they? Because when they had Kenny Pickett in the game, when Jalen was knocked out with that concussion and missed a few games, the offense didn't look the same. And the last time I checked also, he led the Eagles to a Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley.
That's true.
And actually, in that Super Bowl, yes, they lost, but he outplayed
Mahomes
in the first Super Bowl.
Right. Well, my thing Brian, real quick, and we got to wrap, but everyone knows what Cam accomplished, and no one's ever going to take that away from him. He was an MVP in this league. I just feel he gets in his bag over other guys that are achieving. I mean, hell, Joe Montana had a great team around him. Everybody who wins had a great team. You know, maybe Cam, you could argue he had a lesser supporting cast, but still there was a hell of a team, hell of a defense that year.
He did. And when Cam won that MVP, no question, it was almost like a reflection of what he did at Auburn. He did more with less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Cam and what people have to understand, when he speaks on what he speaks on, he gives you his why. You might not agree with his why, but there's no reason to go ahead and make it a bigger deal, in my opinion. You know, and so, like, when you have these discussions, it's like barbershop talk. You go in a barbershop, people give their opinion. It's our job as debate individuals that, hey, well, give me your top 10. Like if he's not in your top 10, well, let me hear your top 10. Because if you have Jared Goff above Jalen Hurts, the same thing you're saying that's hurting Jalen Hurts, you can say the same thing about Jared Goff. Look who Jared Goff has surrounding him.
Yeah.
They're arguably the best play caller we've seen over the last 4 years.
Loaded.
Great wide receivers, great offensive linemen, one of the best right tackles in the game, great running backs, a feisty defense. So what are we saying? So that's how I look at it. But in my top 10, Jalen Hurts is a top 10. And in my top 5, I would have Jalen Hurts in my top 5.
Me too.
Me personally.
I'm with you. B, we got to run, man. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week at camp. And have a great weekend, man. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bryant McFadden, we're coming back. He's finally done. I mean it. He won't be re-signed and he's not coming back. I'm serious this time. We'll tell you about it next.
Interesting developing story, as Carl would say today. Dukes and Bell, by the way, on a Friday. We'll be back at Camp Guys Tuesday and Thursday. Next week, that means we'll be up at Hooters Mall of Georgia. Great crowd yesterday, as Carl mentioned. Going to be a blast up there next week and the weeks following as our residency continues. Adam Schefter reporting at least 100 players, Carl, from roughly half of the NFL's 32 teams, facing fines and a possible suspension, which could be this year, for allegedly selling their allotted tickets to this most recent Super Bowl. They basically were scalping tickets. They were selling it to secondary brokers, or they just sold it themselves. Basically, selling Super Bowl tickets above face value is violation of league policy, according to ESPN's Tisha Thompson. Everybody gets an allotment of tickets, and you're supposed to keep them for yourself.
Mm.
Or you give them to friends.
Yeah, and I know everybody thinks these guys get free tickets, but, you know, those tickets are paid for. When you ask your friends, hey, give me some tickets, it's not like they get tickets from the team and they just hand them out free. Even when guys have family coming in. But this is interesting because the NFL, basically, you're talking about the biggest event in the world, right?
Right.
As far as sports, year in and year out. And they're like, hey, we've got to settle this down a little bit and we can't have this kind of activity, especially from our own guys.
Right. And there is a pecking order, because the way it was explained to me from Bobby Hebert years ago, generally goes from seniority, or, you know, there's a tenure thing attached to it. So presumably these are guys making six and or seven or higher figures. So there's really no need. I mean, unless, hey, dollar's a dollar. They're looking to make some extra loot, and obviously you can sell the Super Bowl tickets for five times face, if not more.
I was going to say, even the worst seats,
right?
That go for $5,000-$10,000 sometimes, and depending on what city it's in. Interesting stuff. Hey, I want to address this, and Mike mentioned it yesterday at the end of the show. Again, big shout-out to all the folks who came up to Hooters Mall of Georgia. We'll be back up there on Tuesday and Thursday of next week. Jesse Chavez retires. He's 41. The joke, Mike, the running joke on our show has been, all right, when are they bringing Chavez back?
Right.
And they always seemingly did.
It's like a Michael Myers, or Jason Voorhees, any of those horror movie characters that never die.
They don't go away. He was a 42nd round draft pick of the Rangers back in 2002. Didn't make his way to the majors until 08. Stuck around for 18 seasons. But yesterday we got the word, and it was like, all right, Jesse Chavez is retired. For real? Like, is he done for real? He last pitched July 13th, but for every Braves fan, you guys know, there was going to be a part of the season where it was like, is he here yet?
Right.
Well-liked guy. And remember, I think it was a couple of seasons ago, Mike, the guys were trying to get him an all-star nod with the shirts and all that stuff. Good dude. Did his job. Middle reliever, you know, didn't get a lot of credit, but I think Jesse is one of those guys that, again, is well-liked and has been in the clubhouse. Career ERA, Mike, at least with Atlanta, 3.30. Everywhere else, 4.50.
30 games he appeared in the 2021 Super Bowl. In the World Series season of 2021, and a couple of key at-bats and appearances in both the NLCS, DS, and, of course, the World Series. So Jesse Chavez, as everybody else who was part of that, you know, the night shift, contributed.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And look, again, we don't hold anything against him. It just looks sometimes, if you watch Jesse, whether you were there at the ballpark or watching him on TV, you were like, his stuff, man, how is he not getting crushed? Because it looked like a lot of times, like, he really wasn't throwing that hard, but he was able to get guys out.
Interesting factoid. You want to win a sports bet?
Yeah.
You want to win a sports bet?
Yeah.
You want a fact of the day?
Okay. what do you got?
Jesse Chavez postseason stats, 0.00 ERA in seven appearances during the 2021 season.
That's really good.
He pitched 6 1/3, did not allow any runs. Seven appearances in the 2021 postseason, including game 4 of the NLCS. He never allowed a run. So as we said, he was part of that great bullpen.
That's really good. Jesse Chavez, man, wishing you the best. But when we heard that yesterday, we were like, are you sure? Is he gone for real?
Yeah, I said at the end of the show, as we tribute, because, you know, the joke is, you know, if you're a left-handed pitcher, you can stay forever. Because a left-handed reliever is situational. You'll be around for, even with the new rules, where you're going to pitch to three batters. But yeah, a right-hander lasts that long with this stuff. Remember, not really electric stuff. I always said to Carl, how is he getting guys out with that 89-mile-an-hour stuff?
Yeah, it just didn't look electric at all. Daily Download brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. While we're talking about the Braves, back at it against the Rangers tonight. And meanwhile, Austin Riley reinstated from the injury list. Nacho Alvarez, Mike, option to AAA Gwinnett.
Nacho, third baseman. He's going back to Gwinnett, yeah.
And you know, as far as this pitching matchup, we've got Joey Wentz on the hill tonight.
Who?
Got Joey Wentz.
Okay.
Grant Holmes.
Bump.
Come on, guys. I mean, okay.
Bump.
Okay, okay.
Well, that's, come on. That's now you're being excessive. And by the way,
it's a little much, isn't it?
I mean, Joey Wentz's game log right now, okay. You know, his ERA's not bad. You know, I mean, it's not bad, Carl. He's done some good work.
Okay.
Against the Cardinals and Yankees. You know, he's hanging in there.
He'll be DFA'd tomorrow. Grant Holmes.
Four innings. Remember,
good and terrible.
He didn't give up any earned runs, you know, against the Yankees in that game in four innings.
Yeah.
That was good.
I know, I'm with you. Wentz tonight, Holmes tomorrow, and then Bryce Elder. Elder's got almost a 6 ERA. Did you realize that?
Yeah, we had that factoid yesterday. Who's the backup utility infielder? Where are they?
Nick
Williams, is that who it is? What's the dude's name? Yeah, him. Not Nick. I know the other guy. Nick Allen plays. He's the backup utility guy. That guy's got an ERA lower than Bryce Elder and Julio Iglesias in his last four appearances.
Yeah. All right. But they reinstate Austin Riley. So that's good news, and hopefully he can come back and rake a little bit. As far as the Braves are concerned, that's really what's going on.
Yeah, Luke Williams. That's the name, by the way. Luke Williams actually got better stuff his last four appearances.
Well, maybe
Jesse Elder
should be starting tomorrow.
Well, I mean,
or when Bryce starts, I guess Sunday.
I just, you know, this is where we're at. You and I, real quick, we're off the air. We were talking about it. I wonder how many folks are going to make the trip up to Thunder Valley next Saturday. That's that Reds game with the Braves. I was going to go, and I had tickets.
Come on, Mike, you should go.
Nah, I sold them. I didn't give them away, but I sold them to a buddy of mine. But yeah, we were going to go up and, you know, maybe go up to Bristol. But now I'm just kind of, you know, the season's just kind of leaving me kind of flat.
So you've quit on them.
Yes. Yes, I have quit on the Braves.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yes, officially, I have quit.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Sail it.
That's what I wanted
to hear. Now, again, how good the sight lines are going to be, I don't know. But, you know, they do have some seats that are right above the field in the infield of Bristol Motor Speedway.
You should be up there going, Ozzy, your number one fan. Let's go, Ozzy. Come on, Ozzy. Like the hat.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Let's go, Money Harris. Let's go,
Money Harris. Second favorite player, Money Harris. Let's go. No?
No.
Call it right, Blue. Let's go.
I'm going to pass on the trip to the Tri-Cities this time.
Let's get Rizal in there. Let's get Rizal in the game right now. Let's go, Rizal.
By the way, hit us up. Are you going? How many fans are going? Hit us up at put them up. C-Dux, Mike Bell, ATL.
You going?
How many folks are going up to Bristol?
It's a good question.
Because that was it's kind of a unique, you know, they're talking about the Coliseum of sports and the biggest crowd, et cetera. But,
okay, you guys are wrong. Guy just hit me up. He goes, preseason football starts next week. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Stop it. You're making excuses.
One more week. We have one more week.
Yes.
A week from today, we're going to be up at Margaritaville.
Preseason football.
But that's the thing. Preseason football numbers do better numbers than regular season baseball. As good as baseball and the Braves are regionally, that is a fact. He's not lying.
Well, when we are good, that's not the case. Right. When we're not right now and we're struggling, that's a different situation.
Yeah.
In other news, guys, Justin Fields is back at camp, by the way. Wanted to mention that because yesterday was such a big story, Mike. Everybody was losing their minds. He's back. He's not going to miss any – well – regular season time. He's probably day-to-day, right, which means they're just going to take it easy and make sure he can run around. But, again, dislocated toe. So that's just probably a couple of weeks, Mike, but not as serious. And with all that conversation, we're going to get to a 4th-and-1 segment coming up here at the top of the hour. But, yeah, Justin was back at practice today. So a lot of people making a big deal yesterday out of that. And not to say that they didn't. When you don't know what the injury is,
right,
everybody freaks out. But I also think that immediate jump to quarterback hurt, Falcons phone call. That's where we're at. And no matter who it is this season, that's what you're going to, as long as Kirk Cousins is on this team, that's what you're going to get. And it's pitiful, Mike, because that's not how this is going to work. Every time somebody goes down, Cousins.
Yeah.
Call the Falcons.
I mean, we said it yesterday. As soon as this news dropped yesterday, it's like, okay. How bad is that, Toby? We said on Justin Fields, local young man. You know the family well. But that's the kind of thing where somebody, a freak accident, a lineman stepping on a foot, kind of like what happened, you know, and unfortunately when we had that first hit, remember last year in New Orleans on Kirk Cousins? That's where we had our right side of the offensive line getting tied up with each other. So it can happen. As we said, don't want to wish it, but I would love to see, especially with Penix Jr., not that, you know, he's saying all the right things. Everybody in the team is saying all the right things, but I think it would be cool to get Cousins out of here.
All right. As we count down to the trade deadline, one other thing I just want to mention, we may get back next week. And if you think Marcell Ozuna is going to be traded, it could happen. And it could happen certainly before the trade deadline on July 31st. But as far as some of the other people that we've discussed, Mike, again, this is for me. It's not a blow up. I don't think that's what they're going to do. And if any moves are made, they could and should be made, I think, before the deadline. There's no reason to hold on. If you've got a deal in place, I hope Alex is going to go ahead and execute it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing you could ask for is if Ozuna was in the lineup on a regular basis and hitting, that would obviously raise the level of what you're going to get as far as value. But the Padres, I think it was earlier in the week, you and I were talking about San Diego was linked in a couple of reports about the Braves maybe being interested, and that'd be a nice fit for him. But yeah, hopefully you get two teams and you get a little bit of leverage. Get somebody to maybe give you maybe one prospect they weren't prepared to. That's about it. And then finally, you got the Sounders in town. Garth Lagerwey, who's been dealing with some health concerns, Carl. His former team taking on Atlanta United on Saturday. And I just looked it up. Atlanta United is the fifth worst team in MLS right now.
And quit on them?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm doing a lot of quitting.
I was going to say.
You know, I mean, I make fun of the quiet quitting generation. Yeah. I'm doing a lot. I mean, my quitting isn't quiet. I'm telling people on a radio station, yes, I've quit on United. I've quit on this Braves team. I'm one or two games away from quitting on Florida State. A lot of quitting going on in my world this year.
Their season hasn't even started.
I know, Carl, but I'm wondering what kind of havoc Alabama is going to rake down there in Tallahassee.
Roll Tide!
I've not quit on Georgia or Georgia Tech.
All right.
Well, not quit on the Hawks. Very excited. Bullish on the Hawks this year.
Very bullish. Very bullish on the Hawks. Hey, man, coming up, 4th and 1's on the way. It's Friday,
everybody
guys.
Else have quit on.
We'll get you caught up on the latest next. Anybody else?
About it.